Hello, I'm Raj Margo. I'm a psychiatrist in Philadelphia, and this podcast is part of my series called Simple and Practical. Clinicians want to learn about so many topics, but who has time nowadays? This podcast is part of a series that in just 15 minutes will give you brief, important, and practical information about mental health care. You can listen to these podcasts at any time while driving, getting dressed, and so on. Now, these podcasts are provided for educational purposes only, and you must use your own judgment in applying the suggestions to individual patients. Today's topic is teach a powerful relaxation technique. Do you have a lot of patients who have anxiety or have tension or can't sleep because they're wound up or their minds keep going? Well, that's the majority of my patients. Yes, we do prescribe medications, but often the meds are not enough to produce full improvement. And also we want to reduce the amount of sedating medication we prescribe. So that's where the relaxation technique comes in. The great thing about this relaxation technique is that you can teach it to your patients in 10 to 15 minutes at the most, maybe less. Your teaching can be helped by giving a handout to the patient that describes the process. This handout is available free to you on my website, simpleandpractical.com. And if I have your email address, it will be automatically emailed to you as well. Now, most patients can benefit from doing the relaxation technique, but the patients who will probably benefit the most from it are the ones who have muscular tension. For example, patients who appear tense, maybe biting their lips, wringing their hands, tapping their feet, and so on. The principle of this relaxation technique is that it is not possible to voluntarily relax yourself. You see, just by thinking that I want to relax myself, you cannot relax. It's the mind. And what you can control is the body. So if we can leave the body very, very limp, every part of the body very, very limp and relaxed, then that reciprocally will help to relax the mind. The second aspect of this relaxation technique is based on the idea that the mind cannot be blank. And therefore, after leaving the body limp and completely relaxed, we will focus the mind on the breathing, on natural spontaneous breathing, which will slow down or reduce the amount of thoughts that come to the mind. Now, this technique is based on the Indian practice of yoga. And in yoga, it is called the corpse pose, you know, being limp and relaxed, limp and with muscular relaxation like a dead body. But that has negative connotations. So therefore, maybe it is better to just call it a relaxation technique, or maybe call it a Raggedy Ann pose, you know, like a Raggedy Ann doll, limp like that. Another name that I don't like to use for this is a relaxation exercise, because the word exercise implies effort. And what we are trying to do is to let go. It's the absence of effort. Now, before I describe the procedure, I want to note that while most patients do benefit from this relaxation exercise, there are some patients who don't do well on it. These are the patients who tend to become more anxious and have more negative thoughts and anxious thoughts when left free and when not occupied. So when they get some free time and they're lying down and they're not thinking of anything in particular, not doing anything in particular, there are occasionally patients who will do worse on this. Sometimes these are patients with panic disorder. I would urge you, the clinician listener, to practice this relaxation technique yourself. Not only will you find it very helpful to you and will improve your own level, reduce your levels of stress, but also it will provide you with a deeper understanding of the technique and will allow you to teach it to the patients more effectively. Of course, this is optional and not necessary. If you don't want to practice it yourself, you can still teach it to your patients. So let's get into the nitty-gritty of the procedure. So you tell the patient to wear loose, comfortable clothing and choose a time when they are not likely to be disturbed. maybe tell the family member that I'm going to my bedroom and I'm going to do my relaxation technique and I'll be down later, something like that. You want them to turn their cell phone off or take the phone, switch off the phone, so that they won't be suddenly disturbed when in a state of deep relaxation. The patient needs to lie down on a relatively hard surface, so a bed is not suitable for this. Either a yoga mat, which is perfect, or put a comforter down on the carpet or on a rug. A small pillow can be used to provide some neck support or comfort to the head if needed. We ask the patient to lie on the back with the hands by the side, palms up. Now, the procedure can be divided into three steps. In the first step, ask the patient to just sigh and let go of the entire body and become limp and loose. Leave yourself loose. After a few breaths, the patient should do it again. Again, sigh and leave the entire body completely loose. Do this maybe 3 times or so, which will produce some degree of muscular relaxation. In step 2, we ask the patient to then start from the toes and focus on one part of the body at a time. And they will go over the entire body, gradually making that part of the body even more loose, even more limp. Now, to help the mind to focus on that part of the body, it is sometimes helpful to move that part of the body very briefly. So maybe the patient starts by wiggling the toes a little bit. That focuses the mind on the toes. And then they make sure that there's no tension in there, there's no effort. They leave that part of the body completely loose, completely limp. And then the lower leg, and then the thighs, and then the buttocks, and then the lower back, and the upper back, the shoulder, the upper arm, the forearms, the hands, maybe wriggle the fingers a little bit. The chest, abdomen, then the back of the neck, the scalp, and most importantly perhaps, the face. It is a little bit harder to make the face go limp, but very important to do so. So the face and the eyeballs and the cheeks should be made completely loose and limp like a Raggedy Ann doll. Completely loose, completely limp. If the person is doing this properly, they'll find that their jaw drops open, and that is a sign that the face is more relaxed. So this is step 2, and the person lies there in a state of complete physical relaxation. After a minute or two, some tension tends to creep up in different parts of the body. So it's probably a good idea to repeat step 1 and step 2, or just step 2 again, which is going over each part of the body again, making sure that they're completely limp. After this, the patient proceeds to step 3. In step 3, we use imagination or imagery to further deepen the relaxation, the physical relaxation. So the patient is asked to imagine that the body is made of solid, dense lead. That is to say, it is very heavy. And so the body is so heavy that they can feel the body pressing into the ground, almost sinking into the ground because of being extremely heavy. This imagery can help the patient to deepen the relaxation. Another image that the patient can use to increase the relaxation is to imagine that the body is being immersed into a pool of warm or pleasantly hot water. And so they can feel the level of the water at the feet and then gradually going up the body, up the leg, up the waist, up to the chest, up to the neck and then the whole body. And so this feeling of hot water surrounding the body, this image, can also help to deepen the relaxation. Now, for many patients, or for most patients, it is a good idea to practice these three steps for a week or even several weeks before you go to step four. Step four is the focus on breathing. So the patient is asked to relax and focus the mind, or draw the attention of the mind to the breathing at the level of the nostrils. So we do not want them to focus on the chest wall rising and falling, or the abdomen going in and out. This is because at the end, in the deepest state of relaxation, we want the patient to forget that there is a body and only be the head. So we don't want to do anything to draw attention to the rest of the body. So we have asked the patient to draw their mind's attention towards the breath going in and out of the nostrils. The patient is not asked to breathe deeply. The patient is not asked to breathe more slowly. The patient is not asked to do anything at all, except to observe, a passive observer. Breathing is a natural process. There is nothing to do. You just observe that the breath is going in, and you can feel it at your nostrils. And then you observe that the breath is going out, and you feel it at your nostrils. And you observe the breath going in and out passively. Inevitably, the patient will note that soon different thoughts will start entering the mind. And it is very important to emphasize to the patient that this is natural and it is inevitable. It will definitely happen. The mind will definitely think of different things, and there is no need to be bothered or upset about this. As soon as the patient, when the patient realizes that this is what has happened, that I'm thinking of something else, they should gently draw the attention of the mind back to the breathing at the level of the nostrils and return to observing the breath going in and out of the nostrils. Sometimes I tell the patients that this is like watching clouds in the sky drifting by. Those are your thoughts. You don't try to chase the clouds. You don't try to hold them. You cannot hold them. They drift by. You observe them passively and let them pass. And you go back to what you were doing before, which is you were focusing on your breathing going in and out. So that's the procedure for the relaxation technique that I recommend. Now, how often should the patient practice this? Ideally, in a patient who is quite anxious and suffering from quite significant clinical anxiety, I would urge them to do it 15 minutes at least twice a day. 15 minutes twice a day. And they can practice it even more often if needed. But that is good. If the patient is unable to do or does not need to do it this often, then they could do it for about 15 minutes once a day. In general, I don't suggest that the relaxation technique should be used for sleep, because what we want the patient to do is at the end of the relaxation technique to emerge with a sense of physical relaxation and then continue to carry it with them as they go about their business. However, for patients who have difficulty sleeping because they are wound up or because they have a lot of thoughts coming to their mind, the technique can be very helpful in helping them to fall asleep as well. So once the patient has finished the about 15 minutes of practice, then they should not suddenly jump up and go about their normal business. What they need to do is to slowly start moving the fingers, the toes, and then other parts of the body. Take at least two minutes to slowly start doing that, and then maybe turn on their side and then slowly open their eyes. I forgot to mention that it's best done in a relatively dark room, and so they want to open their eyes slowly, so that, you know, because if you wake up from this technique suddenly, then your system gets kind of like a shock and can have your heartbeat can go up and so on and so forth. Now, as they go about their subsequent activities, they should try to carry the sense of physical looseness with them. We all use our muscle, too much of our muscles. We all have a state of muscular tension that is unnecessary. And they should, in general, try to remain more physically loose throughout the day and use only those muscles that are needed. Now, lastly, as the patient becomes better at practicing this relaxation technique, the patient will find that they can achieve that deep sense of physical looseness and limpness in much less time. So even if they have 1 or 2 minutes free at work or while waiting for an elevator or at other times, they can just sigh and leave themselves loose, and they can recapture the sense of physical relaxation or limpness very quickly. So that's it, folks. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Please do suggest topics that you want me to cover in future episodes. I would greatly, greatly appreciate it if you could tell as many clinicians as you can about these podcasts and encourage them to subscribe to them as well. Thank you very much for listening.